this agreement told me. Now, let's take the employer, take a manufacturer, take a big business. The longer he operates, the more experience he gets, right? The more pay he gets, sure. But we are not business people. That is, we differ. We don't live. We are supposed to have a goal, an idealistic goal at that. How long can I go on talking like that?
Well, Sarah, it sounds like most of the women who you did get into the women's local were mainly Jewish women.
No.
No?
I wasn't. No, I managed. Well, if I'll show you the pictures, I'll show you that most of them are not Jewish. No, I was very interested to get the other element in. Now, this woman I'm talking about, Becky, she was Jewish. Well, she didn't join. Now, the first president wasn't Jewish. The second president wasn't Jewish. I was chairman of the board. He said, well, all right, you know. Let's see, who was after that? Well, I tried. The secretary wasn't Jewish. And then I managed. I inspired the Goyim. I did the same thing here. Now, when it came to, for instance, we had summer school scholarship given by the union. I picked Schwarzer. So the Jews accused me of favoring the Schwarzer. And the Schwarzer turned around, so I'll show you some letters from Schwarzer. So I told him, one of the Schwarzer, I says, listen, honey, I'll tell you something. I don't like Mary, the Jewish girl that was supposed to go, any more than I don't like you any more than I like Mary, but I'll be goddamned if I like you less than I like Mary for this purpose. So that was my way of doing things. I sent Schwarz. Mary, which is proven time and time again, that in this respect I was very logical and right.
Well, the Jewish women were more afraid then to come into that women's local in Chicago?
No, they weren't afraid. They wasn't afraid. It wasn't a question of afraid. It so happened that I made a greater effort to get the girl. Mm-hmm. I did, and then it was the fact that Clara was Jewish. I was Jewish. I'm a Jew because I was born Jewish. I had no say in the matter. I take out whatever was good in my father's, mother's teaching, but as far as believing that I am Atuba Khatuni, I am the chosen people, that has left me long, long ago. It can be as rotten as hell.
Sarah, what would happen at the women's local meetings? Because everything in the advance mainly announces there's a party, there's a dance, but it never talked about what went on at the meeting. Was it mainly educational, or
our local was dedicated for education. You find now Professor Douglas. Mm-hmm. We had him, and we had Wilhelm Hirschstein, we had, of course, as I say again, it was more my doing than. Now, this, I had a very strong belief in education. Of course, so if you look up, if you look at the records, the Amalgamated was founded on that idea in general, but they drifted away from it. You look up the statistics and the expense, that's the least that they spend money on education, 2%.
So the main, when you first started the Women's Local, one of the main goals was going to be to educate the women about unionism.
Yeah.
Now, did the other locals, did your local 39, was that involved with education at all or not?
Oh, yes. The fact is that when we conducted educational classes, we invited all.
Oh.
We didn't discriminate. We invited them all. We had open door. In fact, when we ran the affairs, everybody was invited. And in order for us to send delegates to the convention, our income was very meager. So we drum the dentists, lunches. That's how we originally was able to send. I can't think of the term. Can you imagine that? Not fraternal, it's not fraternal. It has another name for it. But it is fraternal, though, I guess, anyway. It might be fraternal. I recall we were a bunch of us in Boston. We had such a good time. There was Brody, there was... I don't remember the names anymore, I got them down. It was a very interesting period. I spit blood. Yeah, I got sick more than once, and I never wanted to show it that I was sick. I went on.
Now, after the local was formed, then you were one of the vice presidents of the local. I see. And then you were also the delegate to the joint board.
Yes, I was a member of the board of directors as well.
Of the local.
Yeah, I represented the local. But this was, you see, the locals have delegates to the joint board, and from the joint board they select members to the board of directors. That's a select, very select group. They were so well up about me in the union, they complained to Hillman. And then there is always somebody that was loyal. After all, I wasn't alone. I couldn't be alone. I couldn't do things alone. It came back to me. They complained to Hillman about me being unruly. And so it was brought up to the board of directors at a special meeting. I don't know where I didn't think I was on the board of directors at the time. So Hillman asked him, is Sarah doing it for a selfish motive? Is she trying to do it for herself? Is there anyone in this room that can point out that what she's fighting for is for herself? No, I'm sorry. He'll show you that. I'll show you the correspondence. Because I wrote to him what they were doing. I was... Okay.
Now, Sarah, then, so at when you first formed the local, there were something like 500 women. Then when they dropped out, did they just not come to the meetings, or did they go back to their initial locals?
They got married.
They just stopped working.
Mm. They dropped out. No, they didn't go back to... No.
No one joined the women's local went back.
No. But you see, when Clara became business agent, she brought in none. She didn't make the effort. She was a good girl. She was a very good girl. she was a fine person, but not, she held a job for all these years until she passed on.
Now, Sarah, what did it mean when it said that you were a delegate at large to the joint board? What does delegate at large mean?
I wasn't delegate at large.
Oh, because in 1921, it indicated that you were a delegate at large to the joint board. But you were a delegate from your local, weren't you?
Yeah, I wasn't from that. There was no such thing. Where did you get that?
From the advance.
No. They also say in the advance that I was appointed. I wasn't appointed, I was elected.
Yeah, okay. So then let's get to... Is there anything else you want to tell me about the woman's local before we get to your election?
What have you got? I don't know if you summarize it for me.
So, well, as I understand it, the women came from the various locals into the women's local.
Yeah.
And the meetings wouldn't be so much about shop activities or their craft activities. It would be more educational.
It was educational. If they had complaints about the shop that was brought up, it was brought up. It was stretched out. And if they had any special grievances, that it would be taken up according to, in the proper channel. They had grievance boards, and you know, you had a grievance board, and you were in sales. Why is the grievance board? You go to the joint board, and the joint board, grievance board. I was on the, I don't remember, I think I was secretary of the grievance board, the joint board, or something. I had every office.
But the problem, I still don't know from the woman's standpoint why they were reluctant to join, to go into the women's local.
I told you, it's very plain. Fear of losing their job. In essence, that's what it was. That's plain talk. Plain talk. Not that they didn't believe in it, because they'd come to our affairs.
Mm.
You see? Not only did the coat makers, women come to our affairs, but the pants makers, the vest makers, the men would come too. Now, as I said, I wasn't elected by the women, because this is a general thing. This is the election of a business agent elected by the entire membership, all coat makers. But they wanted to be paid for it. I told them where to go. Now, that isn't being done, you know. I don't care how big you are. You at least, God, if I'm cuddle them a little bit, at least pretend that you're taking care of them, but I didn't. I was too rough.
Now, Sarah, when you said that you were appointed, but that you weren't appointed.
No,
you
were elected.
Now, how did the election work exactly? Who elected you? Just the entire, the locals?
All the coat-making locals.
Now, how many locals would that be?
Not how many. There was 38. That, from the joint board, you see. The joint board. 38, 6, 270, 39, and 275. Those were coat makers locals.
Oh, so all locals that had coat makers, the nationality locals and the women's locals.
Yeah.
So you were a business agent for the coat makers.
Yes.
And then there were three business agents altogether, right?
Oh, no. Every local had a business agent.
Every local or every craft?
Every local, besides the craft. The craft had a separate local.
So you were a business agent for all these five locals?
I represented, in the shop, every craft, every local. See, I try to tell you, see, this is what I'm trying to make clear to you. I'm giving you Hartsuff and Mark as an example, because that's where I started out being business agent. In Hartsuff and Mark, we have members of 38, local 6, 270, 39, 275, 269. There are six locals, in fact, you see. Now, I represented them all. If they had a grievance in the shop, and if the chairman couldn't adjust it in the shop, it was brought to me in the office.
Now, but when you were elected business agent, you were elected from two, who elected you? Local 275?
All these
or ones. All the locals with coat makers?
Yeah.
So, how would the election work? Would all the locals meet together, or each one would just nominate the business agent?
No. Every local nominated its business agent. You see, a local 39 had two business agents. Local 275 had one business agent. 38 had one business agent. 69 had one business agent. See, every local nominates its business agent, and then they vote for it.
And then all the coats makers vote on so many business agents all together.
Yeah, yeah.
I see. So there were, say, six locals that had coat makers, and say they got a total, they were able to get a total 15 agents, all of them.
Yeah, there was I'll tell you exactly how, in my time, I don't know what it is now, there was Kaminsky, Ellett, and I, and then there was Dabrowski, the Polish local, Janicek, the Bohemian local, Kiastra, the Italian local. I think the Italian local had two business agents. But I don't remember exactly what it was. But there was about 18. The Lithuanians had a local business agent too. See, every local is entitled to a business agent. So that's how it works.
But it wasn't just 39, it wasn't just 275 who voted for you.
No. But I was on the slate, so that's the slate. Now you can vote for me or against me.
Now, if they voted against you, then Local 275 wouldn't have the business agent, right? What would happen then?
They couldn't. They had to have them.
Now, when you became business agent, and you were the first woman business agent.
The first woman coat maker business agent. See, Bessie Hillman was business agent for the vest makers for a while. She was organizer of business agent. Although she was a pants maker, she was a button sewer on pants.
And so she was the only other woman, though, who'd been a business agent before.
Yeah, for a short while.
Okay, now, why did they say you've been appointed?
Oh, it was a mistake.
It wasn't a deliberate deal.
No, I don't think so. I tell you, the one that sent in the report made a mistake. I know who it was. Mabel Ashcroft was another one. She was half Indian, and I wanted her to be. She was president of the local. I mean, I pushed people entirely away from the regular.
Now, so you were elected at the end of 1921.
Yes.
It's the election.
December 21.
Now, was everybody called a deputy business agent?
Yeah.
The word deputy was with all the
names. Yeah.
Okay. And then once you're elected, once you're a business agent, you can no longer be on the joint board. Isn't that right?
You are on the joint board, but not a vote.
Oh, I see. So you had to resign from the delegate to the joint board.
Somebody, you're replaced by another person.
Oh, so as soon as you were elected for that, you could no longer.
You have a voice,
but you can't vote.
No.
Okay, now, so as a business agent, you were in the Hart, Schaffner & Mark shop first.
Yeah.
But your duties would be, you would mainly be in the union office, and the shop chairman would get in touch with you when there was a problem.
Yeah,
Did you also make a tour regularly, or what? Or only when they called you did you go into the shop?
Well, usually, if the chairman couldn't adjust the complaint, he would call me or come down to the office, or if people weren't satisfied with the adjustment of the shop chair, might come down to the office, see me, or I have to go into the shop to make an investigation. Later I asked to be transferred because I couldn't, it was impossible for me to carry on.
Because of the
pressure,
shop chair,
Cameron? No, the pressure was too hard for me. These two business agencies, and they made it so hard for me that I couldn't see. I didn't want to come out in the open and attacking the union, so I asked to be transferred.
Oh, the three of you were in the same business agents for the same shop?
You see, now what happened? What happened was this. Hodges and Marks had a policy. A business agent couldn't go into the shop without a labor manager. They have to be escorted.
Why is that?
Well, that was the condition. Whatever problem arose, if they had to adjust the complaint, the labor manager had to be present with the business agent to listen to the complaints. And then they would straighten it out with the labor manager. The labor manager represented the company. The business agent represented the worker. Now, the other two business agents would walk in. I'm going to give you one example. I don't want to go into detail even now, but to what extent they humiliated me. Let's see. The business agent, the two business agents will go in without a labor manager. They get up with the manager in the shop without a labor manager. I go and they wouldn't let me in without a labor manager. All right, now I had the good fortune, labor managers, both of them, happened to be professors. Somehow, whether, as I said, I've never used my sex as a means of gaining my ends. But they had great sympathy with me. They saw the wrongdoings. But I couldn't take it. I come up to one shop. And the chairman of Hodges and Marks, all of them were instructed from the top down to dog me.
The shop chairman?
Yeah. To make it difficult for me. So am I going to go and publicize that? What? And here, I know what it meant to get it to belong to the union. It's only 1921, you know. So I asked to be transferred. They gave me 10 or 12 little bootkits, little shops, scattered all over creation. One shop in Hodgesman Marsh, and I wasn't allowed to come in. Shop chairman there came downstairs. He says, "I'm going to make a stoppage. They don't let you upstairs. I have a complaint." He was all for me, you know. And they go, "Tell him, guy." I said, "Leo, I don't want that." You see, I wasn't looking for no publicity. This is the point I'm trying to make all along with you. I never seek this kind of publicity. He was so determined, I had to tear his shirt up. He said, "You're not going to stop me." Now, this is as true as I'm sitting here. I tore his shirt. I said, "Leo, don't do that. Not only will I be in trouble, but you too will be. You lose your job and I won't be able to help you. Because I know where it came from."
Now, sir, do you think that it came directly from the manager, from the union manager?
Well, he didn't fight it. Mm-hmm. Let me put it this way. He didn't fight it. He didn't want me originally. Frank didn't want me. Hillman didn't want me.
Because you were a woman or just because you were so troublesome?
Well, both. I think it was both. Primarily because I was troublesome, because I was a rebel. A rebel in my own way. Not in the sense that I'm a socialist, an anarchist. I was a rebel, I was a troublemaker. I couldn't see injustice. I didn't care who it was. I didn't weigh or measure. If it was wrong, it was wrong. Now, to illustrate what I mean by that, not that I was crazy. I realized that I live under the capitalist system. They wanted to give us a reduction. Now, I said, if you give us a reduction by their running around in Cadillacs. I said this to Levine, to the manager. I said, "I'm going to go on top of the roof and shout." I said, "You're not going to do that." "Sir," he says, "what do you want? You're going to see 8,000 people walk the street?" He called him in the office and he showed me black and white. I says, "If you promise that when the time changes, the workers will get back." I said, "Okay, watch that." Now, I mean, I wasn't altogether crazy. That's number one. You see what I mean by seeing injustice? That's the way I judge being unjust. Another thing. Now, this was Hillman. I admired him, and I know he was a great leader. They called me to get some fancy hotel. Paid that time $500 for a meeting to let us know that there is a reduction. So I get up and I said, "Brother Hillman, our beautiful hall isn't good enough to give us a reduction. We got to take $500 from our trip." So a business agent come over and slaps me on the hand. I said, "Shut up." Now, you see what I mean by being a troublemaker?
What year was that, Sarah? Was that after you were business agent or before?
Well, I think that was after I was business agent. Sure, that was after I was business agent. Yes, that was after. After I was business agent. Now, on the other hand, when there was a question, you see how I work. I said justice or injustice in a different light than the average person. Some delegate got up to complain that the business agent get too much money. They didn't deserve it. But that time I was a delegate to the joint. This was the joint board. I says, "I'm a business agent. I don't care if they get $10 more. Provided they do the work, they can never get too much as long as they perform their duties right." You see, now that's the way I think of it. They should get me. After all, if they are sincere and conscientious, devoted, you can't pay them enough because it's an agonizing job. It's an agonizing. I know that I lived and I suffered with every worker that when some bastard shyster manufacturer went to complain that I want to put him out of business to Levine. I didn't give a damn if I lose my job or if I never work or if I starve to death. It was not right. The man has a family. And he jumps, you know what killers is? Ruptures. You know, he jumped on those machines, now they got it better. They don't have to do that anymore. Works 8-9 hours a day on that. He can't make more than $2 a day. So he says he can't play anymore. He can't eat. I said, if you can't afford it, you have no business to run a shop. So he went to complain. And I was called in on him. I let him have it, just the way I feel. I mean, that's what I couldn't stand. That's how I was troublemaker.
Well, Sarah, did you have direct dealings with the managers over something besides the complaint? Like, say they wanted a reduction. Would you get involved in that as the business agent for that shop, or would it go to the manager?
It depends where. Now, if it was, for instance, I tell them there was an impartial board, impartial chairman, most of the time we straightened it out with the trade board. Sometimes I had to go to the trade board.
Now, how would it work if you would go to the trade board? As a business agent, you would take...
I would present my case, and the company's representative would present their case, and the impartial chairman would render the decision.
Mm-hmm. Now, during negotiations and things, what was the role of the business agent then?
Yeah.
When say there'd be a negotiation for a new contract
committee. And of course, later on, there was no such thing. Human or the general office would take care of it, and then they would bring it for the membership to vote on, accept or reject.
So the business agents usually had no dealings in any of that, though, like when there was discussion of a new contract or something.
Oh, yes, they had. They would make recommendations, sure. Now, for instance, in the smaller district, I made rates on garments, piece rates, week rates, dependent. It depends on the...
Oh, is the business agent, rather than having a price committee in the shop, the business agent would make the rate?
Yeah, you're talking about ladies' garment merchant.
Yeah, where they had those... The amalgamated didn't have the price committee.
No, they had that a long time ago. That doesn't work.
Oh.
You see, what happens here is, now, you have it works differently entirely in men's clothing. You have a stopwatch. You time a worker, and sometimes the worker overdoes it. They stole on the job. I didn't like that any more than the other way around. Some were put up by the company, they should speed it up. It's no good either way. So I'd find a happy medium, and I'd give it a trial, a week or two, to see what the result would be. So you have to use your own...
So this is as a business agent, though, that you did this?
I used to do it. But others, it was left to the discretion of the business. It depended a lot on it. Now, here, I never used the business agent for... I used to do my own... Unfortunately, I knew more than all of them put together. There was it again. It was that. And this guy, to this day, he comes to someone, she was my business agent, and now I'm her manager. You know,
Sarah, what would happen, say, as business agent, you would set the price. Now, what if the manager, the shop manager, didn't agree? What would be the next step then?
Well, it goes to the manager of the union. He's not there, he goes to the trade board. I mean, set up a trade board. There's we have facilities for that.
But so the first step always was that the business agent made the decision about the price.
Yeah, in small shops. In fact, it's always, even in Harcher's remarks today, it's the same thing. because you take, for instance, now you have two lawyers having the union. What the hell do they know about the garment? You know it from books, all right, like you read. But come down to you, how many stitches and how long does it take, and how many times do you have to stick your finger, how much does it take to clip your feet? I mean, it's so far removed from the original. Maybe it's better, I don't know. It remains to be seen.
Now, Sarah, when you, as a business agent, you would sit on the joint board, so you could take part in the discussion, and you would give reports, but the business agent couldn't vote on the joint board.
The business agent
couldn't vote.
No, they had a voice, and they usually carry. The voice would carry. The voice would carry. Usually they're, and then there are delegates that have enough gumption. That was all right. I always liked people that disagreed. I mean, logically. I didn't like just to fight for the sake of fighting. I didn't fight for the sake of fighting. Never. It had to be a good reason for my fighting. I mean, I had to have some sense to it. Some merit. I couldn't stomach the idea, call us to a swell hotel to give us an induction. I mean, what's the sense in that? I mean...
Now, Sarah, once you asked to be transferred from the Hart, Schaffer & Mark shop and you had the small ones, did you keep the small ones the rest of the time you were business agent, or did you go to another shop?
No.
You kept
I kept on the night. I didn't want to be... They wanted me to stay on without being re-elected. This was the funny thing. It was funnier than hell. The same manager didn't want me. Nobody wanted me. They wanted me to stay on.
Now, when was that?
After 1923.
Now, in 1922, you were re-elected, though. You were first elected in 1921.
Yeah, I didn't want to be re-elected. I didn't want to run.
Oh, so, just because you didn't like doing that?
No, I had enough.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted somebody else to take my place. But they insisted that they didn't want no change. They wanted me to stay on. I said to Sam, I said, look, if I wanted to be business agent, I think I would go through an election. And I said, I want to go back to the shop. You got time to go back to the shop. What do you got to lose? What do you want to go back to the shop for? I said, that's where I belong. You know, that's it.
So that was in December 1923. So you went back to the shop then for almost a year before you went to Brookwood.
Yeah.
Then. I see. Okay. Now, in the 1922 election, they listed all the business agents who were elected in December 22, and they didn't list you.
No, there was no business agent for a whole year.
Oh, what happened there?
Then I went to school, and Clara Lee was elected.
Now, how about during the year 1923, though? You were a business agent during the year?
No, I wasn't. I don't remember. No, there was no business agent. They didn't want the business agent that I recommended, and I didn't want to be business agent.
Oh. So 275 didn't have any business agent?
Not in 23.
Oh, I see. So you were just business agent then for the year?
22, 23, listen, it's such a long time ago, it really takes... No, I don't think I was a business agent in 23.
So you just stayed for 1 year then?
Yeah. That was more than enough. I wanted to break the ice, that's all. If I say originally... Well, who in the hell? I didn't want to be business agent. I just wanted to, and I said so. I told him. I said, I didn't, and that's why I wanted the woman's local.
Now, Sarah, when you decided that you didn't want to be business agent anymore and you were going to go back to the shop, at that time, did you think about going to Brookwood yet, or you hadn't even thought about it then? You just wanted to go back to the shop.
I wanted to go back to the shop. I wanted to go back to the shop, and I have to look at the. I have reminders.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'll come across.
Okay. Well, maybe for next time we could figure out the that, and maybe you can.
I was asked why I wanted to go looking. I always left an imprint somehow. And I went to visit there in 24, it was at a Philadelphia convention. Instead of, they asked me what made me wanting to go to Brookwood. What impressed me so much that I had a desire to go there. I said, most of all, instead of saying that they haven't got all those degrees at that lesson, they haven't got the DVDs at that lesson. So that, all through my 2 years in Brookwood, Dr. Calhoun has no DVDs, Dr. Sleepers has no DVDs, and it was the go all the time. Another thing that I didn't look for that has become a password to playing baseball. And I used to play ball as a kid. I was always among boys and men. But I still don't know. I don't know baseball. I don't understand baseball. I like to watch. But I know how to throw a ball. I used to play piggy and play buttons. So they were shorter, better. So then I said, and I made a home run. So Dr. Sapers said, "Sail run home." So I went to the dormitory. So he gave me a kick in the back, and I passed out. He said, "Run home." So I went to the dormitory. So that remained it. I mean, such thing. Oh, it's really.
Now, Sarah, do you remember the 1922 convention was in Chicago, and you were a business agent then, right?
Yeah.
Now, do you remember anything? Did anything happen relating to women at that convention? There was nothing in the advance at all. 1924 was a big year about women at the convention, but nothing in 1922. Do you remember what went on at that convention?
At that convention, 1922, Hillman just came back from Russia. And I remember, as far as I'm concerned, to me it was more important to put a man back to work than attend the convention. You see, I was small fry. I didn't think the convention was more important than put a tape back when he was suspended. So.
Do you remember, was there anything about women at the convention, remember?
I have to. What was in 22? I can't think of it
right now. You told me before, at one point you thought about going to the Soviet Union. When was that? Was that before you were a business agent?
To whatever union.
To the Soviet Union.
Oh, yes, that was, that was in 22. I was a business agent. In fact, I had bought a trunk. I was supposed to go with Schneid. A whole group of us bought machinery. And that's the time I thought of becoming a citizen.
Oh, you were going to take the machinery over with you?
Yeah.
And stay for a while to teach people?
Yeah. you were going to help the Soviet Union. Sure, you know. But I don't know what happened, really. They changed their mind, and I was glad. It was then that I began thinking of becoming a citizen. After that day, I wanted to be a citizen of the world, and I felt that way for a long time. It was then that I took out my first papers. See? And I had a hell of a time getting my second one. They put me through the ringer. Until I told them, gentlemen, I want to die a good American citizen. Nothing was less. No more questions.